Well, that's clear enough, right? A burning bush and fig trees. We got it, right? No, it's an interesting thing this morning that we have these two passages of Scripture put together. One that's pretty well known. Moses and the burning bush. God revealing God's self to Moses and sending him off to free a people from oppression and slavery. And then on the other hand, we have one of the least well-known readings of Jesus, I think it's fair to say, because it's just downright confusing. Jesus talking about Galileans, that is, folks who lived in the region of Galilee, who were killed by a local authority in some sort of political tragedy or murder, and people trying to figure out what was going on with that. And then Jesus talking about an infrastructure failure that occurred in the city of Jerusalem. And then he starts talking about fig trees and manure and cutting it down. A little confusing, a little odd. So as we begin to look at these passages, I want to start with the one that's well known, and then we'll work our way to the gospel. I want to start with that story about Moses and the burning bush, and some of the assumptions I think we usually make when we hear that. When we talk about seeing a burning bush, it's kind of like we're talking about a big billboard that is flashing in front of us that's impossible to miss, right? You know, oh my gosh, God actually talked to me, was burning on fire. How could I miss it? In fact, often when I talk to folks in some sort of spiritual conversation, they'll say to me, I just wish God would give me a burning bush. You know, something that's clear and obvious, and I couldn't mistake it at all. Huh. I think we might be misunderstanding this story a little bit if we think that actually for Moses this was absolutely clear. Think about it again. Moses is living his life. Moses is not looking for answers. Moses is not seeking out God. Moses is just doing his job. He's working his 9-to-5. He's married, he's employed, he has kids, he has in-laws, he's already got religion covered. I mean, shoot, his father-in-law is a priest. He is not looking for God to direct him anywhere. That is not Moses' thing on this day. I mean, it's true, Moses has a pretty troubled past, a strange past. You know, he was thrown into a river. He was drawn out of a river by a princess. He's raised inside of a palace. But one day he goes out for a walk and he sees other Israelites, people like him, who are being beaten and mistreated as slaves. And he feels this indignation and anger rise up inside of him. And he steps in and he tries to stop the slaveholder from treating that human being in that sort of manner. And before you know it, push comes to shove, comes to Moses, has killed the man. And so what does he do? He runs. He runs away from his home, from his family, from his history. And he runs out to the wilderness, out to Midian, where one day, and we don't know the story, but he meets Jethro's daughter, and you know, that story moves along, and he starts working for Jethro, watching the sheep, and that's where we find him today. The past is in the past. He's not thinking about any of that anymore. He's not looking for anything. He's found a way to live his life, tending sheep, protecting them from predators, guiding them through the ravines and through the wilderness, making sure they have the water they need to survive and the food they need to survive, getting the dumb ones that keep getting stuck in the brambles out of the brambles. That's what Moses is doing. He's just living life. So, at least for me, the idea that he actually notices that burning bush at all is a little surprising. I know what it is to just juggle two kids, right? It takes work. To actually notice off in the distance that something's going on when you've got a bunch of sheep doing dumb sheep things, I'm impressed. He actually paid attention to his surroundings. Even as the wind is blowing and the dust is out there and there are the noises of the wilderness, he notices. He stops. I mean, honestly, how often do we all miss things because we're busy? Because we forget? Because we're engaged in something or we're staring at our smartphones? But even more impressive to me isn't that he notices that bush, but it's that he actually decides to turn aside and to go check it out. I mean, think about it. He changes the route of his life. He doesn't know what's going to happen. And FYI, wool is flammable. It hasn't been like treated with anti-flame sort of things. It catches on fire. So if I take a bunch of sheep over to something that's burning, maybe not the best idea, right? So you got to say he's kind of brave. He might not be all that smart, but he's noticed. He's noticed and he's willing to go, to risk, to experience something new. And as Moses turns and he begins to learn what is there, suddenly he comes face to face with God. He experiences God in a way that few of us could probably dream of, all because he would stop, he would turn, and he would listen, and he would learn. Suddenly, the life that he had is turned upside down. And Moses moves from being a shepherd of sheep to shepherding a people who have been oppressed, who are crying out for mercy, bringing them through another wilderness to a place where they can worship God and where they can live. Now, believe it or not, that story about Moses and the burning bush, I think, has quite an amazing parallel with that really not popular gospel reading that we heard this morning. It happens as Jesus is being asked about suffering. Remember, that's what I told you was kind of going on. You had people killed by a king, and you had a tower that fell over, a disaster that's occurred. And people are trying to understand why these bad things have happened. They want to understand, was the violence brought on by the king or by that tower because of the sinfulness of the victim? Or maybe it was the sinfulness of the builder of the tower, or maybe it's the sinfulness of the king. But clearly, they are trying to understand why things have fallen apart. It might feel like a kind of crude question. You know, is it because that person's so bad that God smacked them down? I mean, that doesn't sound very nice, does it? But they're just trying to understand. Just trying to understand, like we are probably trying to understand. What made the 737 MAX 8 jets start crashing? Was it deception? Was it people not doing their job? Was it truly just a mistake? We are trying to understand, right? To dig down, because we don't want to think we live in a world where this kind of stuff can just happen. As human beings, we want root causes. And that is what these Pharisees, these devout and committed Jewish people, are looking for. What's the root cause of this pain? You know, what's interesting is, unlike our media, Jesus isn't willing to start casting blame in response to those questions. He doesn't start pointing his finger at Pilate or talking about the builder or talking about the sinfulness of people. He's not willing to pin the blame on one person. Similarly, he's not even willing to say that these disasters happened because of God. Jesus doesn't seem to think that way, that God is just punishing and throwing lightning bolts down at sinful humanity. Instead, what Jesus says is all of us need to pay attention. All of us need to turn. If we don't turn, disaster is coming. Now, I know you probably don't see the word turn in your text. The word that's there is repent.
But I want you to understand that word repent means to turn, to change. Change your mind, change your heart, change your being. In Hebrew, it literally is the word that's used for turn around. Jesus is saying, unless all of us turn, just like Moses had to turn, disaster is coming. And then he uses that image of the fruitless fig tree. Kind of strange, right? But it sort of makes sense. You know, you plant it, it has a purpose, it's supposed to start giving you food. Year after year, you're getting nothing from it. That's a bad investment. Time to cut your losses and try planting something else. Maybe a kumquat tree. I don't know. But you gotta try something else. And what does the gardener say before the axe is put to the root of the fig tree? Let me dig around a little. Let me throw some food on the tree, manure, right? Let me give it water and make sure it's doing well. And let's see if maybe, just maybe, that tree will turn. Start going a new direction. Not keep going the way it's been going, but suddenly go in the way that leads to life. That is what Jesus is inviting. To turn away from the old ways of life that don't bring us to hope, that don't bring us to love, that don't bring us to God, and instead be like that tree that is fed and nourished and starts bringing forth goodness and grace, love and hope. That is the invitation that Jesus offers this morning. To stop, to turn, to learn from God, to begin to live. That's easier said than done, right? I mean, how many times in your life have you tried to change something? And 9 times out of 10, it doesn't work. On a habit, an activity, whatever it might be. And I think it's easy for us to say, well, yeah, I mean, sure, of course Moses did that. Okay, he stopped and he turned, but at least he got the burning bush, right? He got something that reminded him, that was in his face, that he couldn't let go of. He knew once he had turned that God was really, honestly calling. Well, I have good news for you today. Because right now, our acolytes and Carlos are going to give each and every one of you your very own personalized burning bush. Would you guys help out? You are going to walk away from here today having your very own burning bush. It's true. This burning bush is an icon that comes to you from Holy Cross Monastery, which is a Benedictine monastery in West Park, New York. It's a stylized picture of Moses standing by the burning bush, taking off his shoes because he knows that he is standing in the presence of God. Okay, what's our excuse now? We have our burning bush. It's time to change, people. I want to be clear today. The miracle of this story, it's not the burning bush. The miracle of the story is that reminder that God is always, always standing there, ready. God is always standing there like he was for Moses, like he is for that fig tree thing, right? Ready to offer a new way to live. The miracle of the story is that Moses actually did it, that he stopped and he turned and he paid attention to the presence of God. I mean, yeah, a burning bush is cool. But what led to new life? Was Moses stopping, turning, and learning. Friends, I want you to hold on to this week. Glance at this little icon. If you're having a hard time seeing it, I put it up on my Facebook feed, and you can find a bigger picture of it, or I can email it to you. I want you to just look at that picture and use it as a reminder. A reminder that God is always there. that God is always ready for us to turn and to learn and to live. That God is ready, waiting with open arms, offering us life, offering us hope, offering us peace, offering us a new way forward. I hope that little picture can just be a reminder of that gift. Turn, learn, and live. Amen.